This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hey, and welcome back to the Tomahawk Take podcast. I am your host, Jake Mastriani, and with me is Alan.
Good day.
And Fred.
Happy postseason, everyone.
Yeah, we're recording this on Friday night as the teams are traveling to Atlanta, probably already in Atlanta at this point, with the Braves up 3-2 in the NLCS over the Los Angeles Dodgers. Again, coming back home to Atlanta with two games to try to advance to the World Series for the second straight year. And, you know, Al, I'm at a place here where I want to be excited. I feel like this team is different than last year, but at the same time, it's hard to put the past to bed. As Freddie essentially said, you know, it's up to us to kill the narrative that everybody's talking about of them blowing a 3-1 lead 2 years in a row. At the same time, I'm trying to keep in mind, you know, to think that where this team is, the fact that they're one win away from the World Series again with everything they've had to gone through. Of course, if you're watching the TBS broadcast, you would think the Dodgers are the only one that's facing adversity this year, but this Braves team has had to go through a lot as well, and they're still just one win away from the World Series. And, you know, big difference this year is they actually get to play their games at home, and they get the final two games at home because they won their division. So a little bit different scenario this year, Alan, but I'm trying to remain optimistic here.
Well, I'm glad we're out of California for one. That's the thing to start with, because obviously it's been a house of horrors for the Braves. They did, I mean, if you want the silver lining to start with, they did take a game in Los Angeles, and that's really all we needed them to do. Because now they come home with that lead. They don't have to win both of these games. They just have to win one of them. And everybody's going to be rested, really, on both sides. So it's going to be full strength, or at least as much full strength as you got. The Dodgers are getting a little bit more banged up. They lost Justin Turner.
Who was not good anyway,
but he always has a chance to pop something, and I think he's certainly their better defensive choice at third base. But then again, Chris Taylor. But in any case, yeah, we've got things lined up essentially the way we wanted to. I obviously, like the rest of y'all, were hoping that Max Fried was going to be able to close this out and remove any kind of semblance of drama. That didn't happen. Don't know that we're going to see any kind of a change going on in the lineup or anything like that going forward, because, you know, we've been fairly consistent. But I'm just looking forward to seeing what we can do against Scherzer and Buehler, because Scherzer and Buehler haven't been that good so far in the postseason, and at least in our series. And hopefully we'll continue to make a few runs off of those guys.
Okay, stop the tape here. Yeah, I know. About 2 hours after we finished recording this, a bunch of our outstanding analysis about Max Scherzer was rendered pointless when the Dodgers announced that he was being scratched from Game 6. And truthfully, it's almost certainly the rest of the series, no matter how long it goes. I think he's done. So while you'll still hear some references to Mad Max in some of this coming up, we'll make it up to you at the end with some more specific Walker Buehler stuff. I promise. Okay, resume tape.
We're going to have to keep the Dodgers from scoring. There's no doubt about that. And if we can keep them to, say, two or three or four runs, I think that this Braves team has maybe four or five, and that'd be enough to overcome this.
Definitely agree with that. Fred, your kind of thoughts on how the series has gone so far and your just feelings on where the Braves are now? How confident are you?
Well, I mean, Alan's correct. We said here last week that we thought this was going to go six games at least, and that's what's happened. The Dodgers, look, that is a strong lineup, even without Muncy and with Turner not hitting. What hurt us is at the bottom of their lineup, Torres. So they controlled the top half. Top half didn't do squat. Trey Turner, he's non-existent at that point. But at the bottom half, the Chris Taylors, those guys at the bottom of the lineup, they hurt us. And I don't know why that is. I'm not even going to speculate why that is, but those are the people that hurt us last night. And I think, you know, coming back to Atlanta, Scherzer's going to start the game. He's going to have his tail up, but he's not been good in September. Velocity's been down. He hasn't gone more than four or five innings. He went five innings once, I think. And he came out of that last game with a dead arm. And dead arms don't get better overnight. So, and we've gotten to Max before. I mean, Max is one of the best, but we have gotten to him before because he throws strikes, and we know he throws strikes. And we've got a bunch of fastball hitters on the team, so we've got a chance with him. I'm, you know, relatively optimistic about this. I wish Max had done more to challenge them last night, but I think the lineup is good enough if the pitching holds up, and that's going to be the trick. You know, Snitz rode that back into that bullpen hard with Madzik, Luke, and Will Smith. And just rode them hard and put them away wet, called them out the next day again. And, you know, I said somewhere in one of the tweets that Matt's arm is going to fall off the 1st of December and have to have it bionically replaced. I don't know where he's getting it from, but he's good. Now, he's had a couple of days rest. And Jack Luke's had a couple of days rest. And I think that's going to be the trick is going to be how deep can Anderson go? And how do we make the bridge? And does the back end hold up? And if we do the things that we can do, then the lineup, I think, will be fine.
Yeah, I'm on the opposite end of this. Both of you have mentioned, you know, got to pitch, and obviously that's the case. But I'm more worried about the offensive side of things because it's been my thought, you know, for a year now that it wasn't the pitching that cost the Braves in the NLCS last year. It's the fact the offense just couldn't get rolling, couldn't put up a big number, couldn't put the Dodgers away. I mean, even in game seven there, you know, they scored early, but couldn't add on. And that's my biggest concern right now as we go into these final two games of the series, trying to win one, especially after what happened in game five. They got the home run early from Freddie Freeman and then really never threatened again after that. And again, that was a bullpen game. Now, granted, the Dodgers were throwing their best relievers with their backs against the wall. I get all that. But, Alan, that's what scares me the most. It's not the pitching. I think the pitching will be okay. It's proven in this postseason that it can hold up. It's are the bats going to continue to score and keep up with the Dodgers? You know, can the Braves have another 5-6 run output? Because that's what I think it's going to take in order for them to win one of these final two games.
Well, I think that's where I'm at as well, as I was just suggesting. We're going to have to keep their bats down to 3 or 4, maybe 5 runs so that we can score enough. Cause I don't think we've got double digits against them coming anytime soon. Cause as soon as that anybody gets into trouble, Dave Roberts is going to yank them and bring somebody else in. So we would have to have 2 or 3 relievers in a row all lay eggs for the Braves to get double digit runs. So they're going to have to cobble together ones and twos and things like that in innings against separate guys. That way add it up to 5 or 6 or so runs. But yeah, I do think that's what it's going to take. Now, at the same time, I'm also been sort of trying to take the long view of all this. They have worked their bullpen quite heavily as well. Hopefully we're going to start wearing those guys out since they're running out 8 guys per game, it seems like. I'm hoping that we can finally get at a couple of them. At this point, game 6 and possibly game 7, we're at the war of attrition part of the series. Whoever bullpen holds up the best is the one that's going to end up going to the World Series.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that. But you look at the 3 wins, Fred, that the Braves have in this series. They've held the Dodgers to 2 runs, 4 runs, and 2 runs in those 3 games. So, you know, to me, it tells you, you know, kind of what Alan's alluding to, you know, keep this team between, you know, 4 runs or less and, you know, give the offense a chance. But at the same time, you know, the offense has to get it done. They have to continue to add on runs, put this team away, because we know how dangerous this team can be as, you know, a game goes on. You know, same for the Braves too. They can be dangerous as well and have proven that, you know, late innings in this game. But, Fred, just your thoughts on that, kind of your keys for the Braves, you know, getting it done in these final 2 games.
Well, I'm going to go back to the key that I thought was important early on. That's Ozzie. And he's been not been Ozzie that I wanted him to be, in the games. I need him to stop swinging at so many pitches and then asking the umpire whether it's a strike. Look, son, if it's not a strike, don't swing at it, okay? Don't ask the umpire. That means the umpire, you're telling the umpire you don't know where the zone is. Don't do that. That's just don't. The other thing is I want to know if they're going to put Soler back in the lineup, get that bat back in there. because Jock's been okay, but he's not been Jocktober as much. I mean, he's driven in runs, got a couple of hits, but Soler gives the lineup something else. Now, I don't know whether they'll do that or not, or they think he's not had enough reps at the plate to do that. But, you know, I would have probably slotted him in beside Eddie and pushed Freddie down to third spot and dropped Ozzie to five or six in that lineup because they've been hitting just to do the right left. Because that's why Snitker put Ozzie in the second spot. He didn't want them to bring in Brughill, face the pitcher, and then the first two batters, and then take him out for a right-hander to face Ozzie and Austin Riley. And speaking of Austin, one hit in the last 10 at-bats or so, Riley, wake the hell up. You hit that, got that one really good hit, and I just think he's been absent the last two games, and that's hurt. He came up with runners in on the bases, didn't do anything with them, neither did Ozzie in front of him, and there you go. I mean, that's the top, bottom two of your top four in your lineup. So Ozzie's got a hit. Austin's got a hit. I don't know about who they're going to play, whether they're going to play Soler or Jock. I suspect they'll play Soler again like they used to if they think he can get the bat around on these guys. But I really don't think that's critical to the thing. The critical thing is doing what we did. Eddie said they were doing. He said, we just get the man on base, then we move the man over. We get the man on base, the next guy does his job. And they stopped doing that.
I'm going to take a slightly contrarian view. The key to getting Soler back in is whether they can get him any reps in front of a live BP to get his bat back in gear. And that's going to determine how he gets used, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, it's unfair, but it was one at bat last night, and he did not look particularly great in that one at bat. But again, it's his first at bat back in a while.
At least it got him in the game, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough call for Brian Snitker. I don't know what he's going to do because, I mean, for me, I would kind of rather have Soler in there than Austin Riley, but Riley's your best defensive player.
Yeah, he meant to say Adam Duvall.
And I think you got to have him out there in center field. So it's a tough call right now, but whatever you do, don't mess with Eddie Rosario. That is the one thing you cannot do. You know, maybe move him down in the order if you want to. I wouldn't even do that right now, but Eddie Rosario has to be in this lineup. And really, you know, when you look at the numbers from this series, really outside of Eddie and Freddie, look at that tag team there, name. Really, those two guys are the only ones that have gotten going in this series. You know, everybody else is supporting an OPS of, pretty much 700 or lower or even lower than that. Yeah, I mean, Duvall is your best, center fielder. So I think you got to have him in there for defensive purposes. But I do like having Soler in there, what he brings, if he's that guy. We don't know. And how do you stick him into a middle of a series like that when you don't know where he's at right now physically? But Eddie Rosario has to stay in there. Like I said, Freddie Freeman's gotten going as well after starting 0-for-8, as the announcers have let us know numerous times already how bad of a start he had. But he's been getting going. So, I mean, y'all are right. I mean, it's Ozzie, it's Riley that needs to step up. Even Jack Peterson, cooled off a little bit. Swanson and Darno aren't really giving you much of anything right now. So I need one game where everybody hits top to bottom. They score 100 runs and we can rest easy. But that's really what I'm looking for. I'm looking for this offense to just have that breakout game, Alan, and, just kind of put this thing to bed, put the pitchers at ease. That's what I thought was going to happen in game 5 when Freddie hit that 2-run homer. But then they just went completely silent after that.
I'm not surprised that we're having struggles offensively. I mean, after all, this is the top pitching that you expect to see. You're getting guys are throwing 100 one time, and the guys are throwing junk balls the next time up. You're not getting a consistent look, and that, of course, is the Dodgers' plan. But, I mean, when you come to playoff time, you're just not going to, unless you're the Astros or Red Sox, you're not going to score double digits every time. That just doesn't happen because you got quality pitching all over the place. So the fact that you're not getting everybody hitting all at once or even at the same time is not terribly surprising, which is why this team is going to need to be able to cobble together 5 or 6 runs in ones and twos, and that's the challenge here is to do that against several pitchers. And The trick will be, can they get Buehler out of the game as early as possible and start working on these guys? And again, the war of attrition, trying to get these bullpen guys pitching a lot, get them tired, get them making mistakes. And this team hits mistakes about as well as anybody else. So that's the kind of thing that's just going to get these guys going if they can get those kinds of things done.
Yeah, and I'm going back and looking through the series because I feel like the Braves haven't done much against the Dodgers bullpen. They scored four off Gonsolin in game four, a couple the night before off somebody in the ninth inning. Can't remember who it was. And they had the runs against Urias in game two. But, I mean, honestly, they haven't done much against the Dodgers bullpen, which kind of scares me a little bit because it's almost like if we don't get it done off the starter, I'm a little worried with all the different arms coming in, and that's hard. I mean, I get it. I don't like bullpenning just because, for me, it messes up the flow of the game. But, you know, from a hitter standpoint, Fred, it's got to be hard when you're seeing a different arm each and every time to just, you know, develop a game plan, you know, to even know who you're facing. Like Alan said, I think it'll help the more we see these guys. Hopefully, the more the hitters become comfortable with it. But it can't be easy for the hitters either, you know, facing a different pitcher every time out.
Yeah, the good news is, of course, that means they have to be sharp every time they take the bump. And relievers are in the bullpen because that's not what they do. They, you know, the people who pitch you at the bat, Blake Treinen and Kenley Jansen at the back of the pen are going to be dependable strike throwers. But Bruce Gordon-Gratterall throws 103 and guesses where it's going. Gonsolin, he's pretty easy meat. Urias, his arm's going to fall off any day now. And, you know, Vesey is like a two-batter guy, and then he's out of there. And you're looking at Bickford. And I think they can be had. Look, the thing about the bullpen guys is you have to make them throw that strike. And if they don't throw that strike, then you got to make them go until they do throw that strike. And then you've got to make sure they give you a pitch to hit. You can't go up after a four-pitch walk and swing at the first pitch just because you think it maybe might, could be, possibly would be good. You've got to make it be good before you take a poke at it. And I
think that's what bothered me with Gratterall is that, you know, he just came out there and the Braves were so aggressive against a guy that struggles. Now, he was getting some pitches that were 2 inches, you know, off the edge at 101 miles an hour. But that's what frustrated me with Gratterall out there is that they were so aggressive with him, didn't really make him throw strikes.
Yeah, and you're not going to lift Treinen out of the ballpark every time. I mean, look, when he's throwing that sinker up there and it's like a bowling ball coming up there, and if it's on, you're not going to hit that out of the ballpark. You might as well take like a two-strike approach. You can poke that thing somewhere and that he doesn't want it to go against the shift or away from him, because you're not going to lift it up and hit it 400 feet if it's working right. Conversely, I think the thing about my pitchers that bothers me is I'm not sure TDA is going to be able to catch, because he can't throw anybody out. And he swung the bat in that last game, and he almost came to his knees. It hurt so bad. And I think, personally, I think that's why they took Langeliers off of the Arizona fall team roster and put him with the travel team in case they had to replace TDA. I think that's on their mind enough that that's why they kept him with them. I think it's a problem. His hand is not completely healed. It hasn't been completely healed. He came back way too early. He had to, but since he's come back, he hasn't hit, and he's there to catch. Well, the Dodgers know that, and guess what? They're running on him every chance they get, because it hurts to catch the ball. Then he's got to think and throw it. The pitchers are slow to the plate. He's not got a great arm anyway since the TJ surgery, and so the Dodgers are going to run on him every time they get on first base, provided it didn't Pujols, and who knows? He might take off too. So I'm worried about TDA not being back there to catch the ball, because I don't think Contreras can call the game well enough to keep the pitchers on point and in a hole. And I'm sure that's why Snicker keeps putting him out there, because he doesn't really have a backup he can trust. For me, that's a problem for us. Our bullpen has been really good. Most of that's because TDA's calling the right pitches at the right time. Even that home run that Luke gave up, that was not a strike. It was up out of the zone. If you looked at Pitching Ninja's code of that ball should have been popped up over the infield. And how he got to that, I don't know. I don't think he knows. But most of the time, through the series. It's been Darno back there guiding the pitchers through it. And if he's not there, I think our staff and our starters are in trouble.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point about TDA. I mean, he clearly is hurting and, you know, he's not able to throw anybody out. I think they have 10 or 11 stolen bases in this series. That's just an absurd amount, and they're just running at will. None of them have really even been that close. So that is a big problem. But at the same time, I think he's done a great job blocking balls back there, and I think he's done a great job calling the game. So, you know, you kind of have to just live with the fact, you know, that they're taking an extra 90 feet every time they get on base, which is frustrating. But that's a really good point on TDA. We'll have to see. Maybe we'll get some news Saturday morning on that. I would doubt. Let me ask you this, Fred, and Alan, you can answer it too, but I'll start with you, Fred. If for some reason TDA is injured and they take him off the roster and add Langoliers, who's your starting catcher, Langoliers or Contreras?
You got to start Contreras. You just have to start Contreras because he's been there. I don't think it bothers Langoliers a whole lot. He's been College World Series a couple times. He calls a good game. And, you know, personally, I think he's twice the catcher Contreras is. But I believe that Snitker would go with a guy he's had more than that. I don't think he would throw a rookie out there in game seven. Although, you know, at some point you've got to say, you got to throw a runner out here. They're not going to run on Langoliers one time. And then they're going to trot back to the bench and say, hey, let's not do that shit anymore. So this is, you know, I think he's the future. And I think the only way he gets in the game is if TDA can't. And Contreras isn't doing what he needs to do because Langoliers is going to call the game better. I don't know whether he knows the pitchers well enough, but he's an experienced game caller. And I'm sure that's why he's traveling with, I'm sure he's living with the pitchers right now, in the bullpen and before the game and during the game. I'm sure he's with them all the time because he needs to figure that out. So in case he's needed, but I'm sure that's why they brought him back. I think Contreras is the guy because he's got some time in the majors and you don't know how Langoliers, not a kid. Well, he is for me, but he's the kid. You don't know how Langoliers is going to respond to that.
Yeah, no, you agree with that, Alan, to be Contreras?
This is a tough one. It really is, because if you take the TDA out, he's done for the World Series as well. But then again, he may really be done at this point if he is that hurt. So if you want to make a switch, I think you need to go ahead and make that switch. If it looks like it's going to really be hurting the team to let these guys continuing to run amok. If that is your rationale, then that sort of leans toward Langoliers to come in and to stop the running game. You're right, Fred, that Contreras is the guy with some experience. And this is why I was a little concerned about whether they ought to have called up Shea for September and given him a few reps behind the plate just to at least get his feet wet there. I don't think you take a guy straight from double A catching to the major leagues in the heat of a deep playoff run here. And I think that's the wrong place to put him in. You don't need him for offensive purposes. You need him for defensive purposes. But, I mean, you've got TDA who's got some defense still but can't stop the run. You've got Contreras who's a little iffy on defense. You just definitely don't want to have him make a pass balls in critical situations. So, I mean, do you bite the bullet and go ahead and bring the kid up anyway? I don't know. That's a tough call, and it's not what I really want to make.
I don't think they make the call unless TDA is really, really too injured to play. I mean, he's got to be to the point where he just can't catch the ball.
And I think we're at the point that we're talking about here. The fact that we're talking about it, I think makes the point that it's close. It's a decision that's not that far away.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just don't know. I mean, defensively, Langoliers is going to do all the, he's going to do it. He's going to catch the ball. He's going to throw the ball. They're not going to run on him. But do the pitchers have confidence in the pitch? We'll be seeing TDA in the dugout calling the pitches. I hate that, but you know, Dodgers have been doing that at times. They've had somebody calling the pitches for Will Smith at times. And so if you can do that, I mean, if, you know, you can go out and say, okay, this is the plan and I'm going to be in the dugout. And if I see something, you look at me, I'll tell you, then then maybe that works. I mean, Langeliers is a better defender than Contreras. And they have no idea how to put you. Yeah. They have no idea how to pitch to him. They're going to throw him fastballs. He can hit a fastball.
That's true. Yeah.
So I don't know, but Snitsky is going to go with the guy that brought him there, I think.
Yeah, he was only hitting about 240, 250 in the Southern League. So, I mean, that's obviously not major league pitching, but he also ran into enough to get about a 900 OPS. So, who knows? Maybe he could pop one here or there, but, that would not be the purpose for bringing him into the game. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not like you're getting a ton offensively out of TDA anyway. And I think.
Right.
Which makes it as good defensively.
But. Yeah, which is what makes it an interesting question, because you're getting no offense out of your catcher spot anyway. So do you go for the best defender you can get then? That's the question. Yeah.
It's like Fred said, though. It's what kind of, you know, chemistry would he have with a pitching staff, you know, coming in cold? I think that would be the only, you know, determinant to that. And I kind of agree with Fred, and I think, Alan, you agree with this too, is that TDA's arm would have to be falling off for him to get pulled off this roster. And like I said, I think we could be close to that happening after the swing he took the other night. But I think he would have to be seriously injured, just because I think Snit trusts him so much behind the plate. Even if he's not giving him anything offensively, and even with the stolen bases, which is a clear problem and has cost the Braves, you know, in this series. Let's turn the page now and look to Game 6, Ian Anderson versus
Bueller.
You know, Anderson only went 3 innings last time out. I guess if you're looking for, you know, a bright spot there, he only gave up that 2-run homer, only threw 55 pitches, so should be pretty well rested for this one. Alan, for me, the key with Ian is always in tight games like this. Whenever Ian struggles, it's the walks. And the Dodgers are very good at taking those walks. He had 3 his first time out. For me, he's got to trust his changeup in the zone a little bit more, get ahead of these hitters. Can't allow to give up free bases, which is the case with most starting pitchers in big games like this. But what are you hoping for Ian in this game? What are you expecting?
Well, I'm hoping that he can settle down this time. He's had one time against these Dodgers. He only got through the order about once, one and a half times or so. So he's not that familiar to them, but hopefully he can settle down and relax and do his normal thing. And now that he's had a shot at him, he can come back and he'll have the determination to want to do better, no question. But we'll see if he can pull that off. I just hope he can get through the first inning unscathed. That has been a bugaboo for him. If he can do that, then I think he's got 4 or 5 in him probably. But he's just going to have to relax, not worry about the moment so much, but just try and treat it as a regular start, knowing that his team still has a cushion of a one-game lead behind him. And if he just do his thing, then he should be all right.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, for me, Fred, give me 5 innings. You know, get through the lineup twice, you know, keep it to 2 runs or less, and I think you know, obviously keep the Braves in the game, give them a chance. You know, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm hoping for with Ian. I mean, he's always calm and composed. You know, I don't think that will bother him. I'm glad that he's getting to pitch at home where he's been much better, but we need to see him, you know, go deeper in this one. You know, like I said, give me 5 innings of 2 runs or less and I'll be happy.
Yeah. The thing about, we talk about that. The pitchers who have gone 5 innings in postseason, you can count them on one hand and have fingers left. I mean, when the young man from Houston did that Thursday night, he was the first pitcher to go beyond 6 innings. And I think Snitker would just be over the moon if Ian got in through 4 with no real damage, because you said that Ian's problem is the walk. And if he can do, last year they told him, don't worry about this, just go out and throw, and he didn't. This year he's expecting to be the guy that he was last year, and he puts that pressure on himself, I think. And he doesn't show it. He's very, like, you know, Glavine out there. You wouldn't know if his pants were on fire or he just won the lottery. He's just out there and he's doing his thing. But I think that there's some personal internal pressure on him to pick up some slack. And when you do that, I think you push the control away and you're not doing what comes naturally. If, you know, Ian's really good when he's relaxed and throwing, but he hasn't been doing that. He hasn't been relaxed in 6 weeks, I think. Yeah. That's just me personally. I haven't seen anything that, no, it doesn't, but it just looks to me like he's trying that little bit harder because we're that close. We got to get there. We're that close. We got to get there. Okay. We're there and I got to win. I've got to carry this. We can't go to 7. I don't want to go to 7. I want Charlie and Max rested. I got to win this game and so on and so forth. And I think when you get in that set, get in that mindset, it pushes the details out of your mind and you don't do everything quite as well. Ian's got the pitches to do it if he'll just do it. Keep it down, make him go down and get the pitch, use that dead fish changeup, and keep him off balance, use the four seamer up out of the zone, make sure Bellinger can't reach it, and up out of the zone and keep him off balance. And he did that last year and the same lineup. So I think he can do it. I just hope he's mentally ready to do it.
Yeah, that's the big thing. You never know how, you know, players, you know, again, I said, you know, he's always looks composed out there, but you never really know what's going on between the ears. But I talk about the walks. The Braves pitchers have walked 20 batters in this series already over 5 games. They've done much better the last couple of games, but you go back to the start that Ian had, they ended up walking 9 batters in that game, somehow still won that game. I think they only gave up 4 hits, but we got to see more pitches in the strike zone. The Dodgers are going to take what you give them. We don't need to give them anything. Need to make them earn it in this game with Ian. Again, I think if he can do that, I think he can give you, you know, 4 or 5 innings, you know, keep the team in the game. And that's exactly what I'm looking for from him. Again, need the offense to kind of break out, get
Bueller
out of there early, get into their middle relievers. That's kind of my plan for success in game 6.
Okay, hold the tape again. Here's Fred with what I promised earlier, a preview on Walker Buehler.
Well, talk about rip out the front pages. We no sooner put the podcast to bed last night and settled down to watch the rest Astros game when the Dodgers announced that Max Scherzer was unavailable to start today because of the dead arm and fatigue. There was a lot of speculation about bullpen games and would David Price start? Would they send Corey Knebel out there again or Brewster Graterol? But the only option Roberts really had was Walker Buehler. And the reason it's his only option, he has to win today, and Buehler gives him the best chance of doing that. Buehler gave up 4 runs the last time he pitched against us. He's going to come out wanting to set that right, and his job's going to be go as hard as he can, as long as he can, hold the Braves while his lineup tries to get to Ian Anderson and score runs. The Dodgers will probably go early on Anderson, try to make him throw strikes, be patient, and if they get ahead, as soon as Buehler shows signs of being weak or tiring, they're going to go to that bullpen. And you're going to get multiple innings out of Graterol, Blake Treinen, Kelly Jansen. That's 6 possible innings right there. If they have to use the lefties, they have Vesia and Brewhill out there as well. The job's going to get to Buehler and force them into that bullpen, force them to using somebody out of that bullpen that isn't at the top of their list. Don't hold your breath for Evan Phillips tonight. He's only there to mop up if they're down 13 to zip and getting their tail end handed to them. You're going to see the best out of the bullpen early. They're going to pitch longer in the game, and they're going to stay there until the end. They'll worry about who pitches tomorrow after the game tonight. It's probably going to be Urias. John Hyman's reporting that Max Scherzer may be available for Game 7. Based on my experience with John Hyman, that's probably fantasy, but I'm sure if he's available, he'll go out and he'll throw until his arm falls off to try to win the game. Let's just not get to that game, okay? The Braves lineup I haven't seen yet, but I'd expect it to be similar to the one that they started last game. There's a possibility that Jorge Soler will be back in the lineup if the Braves feel he can swing a bat. Quite frankly, he can't hit much worse than some of the Braves at the bottom of the lineup have been hitting. Unfortunately, he's not a catcher or a shortstop. I don't know whether they'll start him. Buehler's right-hander, I expect him to start Peterson and let it go from there. The Braves' job is really simple. Make Buehler throw strikes and play clean baseball. No two blands, no errors, no wild pitches. Keep everything in front of you. Play the game straight up and clean. That gives you the best chance to beat the Dodgers tonight. I now return you to our regular programming, which may or may not be in progress because I don't know when Alan's going to insert this. Good luck and go Braves.
Okay, since I'm back here, in any case, here is that lineup now that we have it. Eddie Rosario is starting in left field. Jock Peterson is indeed starting in right field. Looks like Soler is going to be available off the bench, but not a starter today. So it goes Rosario, Freeman, and Albies at the top, followed by Riley, Duvall, and Peterson. Dansby Swanson, Travis d'Arnaud, injured as well as he may be, he is still behind the plate. And Ian Anderson, of course, wrapping up the nine spot. Now, finally, back to Jake, and let's see if we can finish this off before anything else changes.
I'll give you my final, you know, kind of key point, you know, going forward, and then I'll let you guys give yours. But for me, it's the bullpen, and there's two games left potentially in this series. I do not want to see Jacob Webb again. I do not want to see Chris Martin again. The only pitchers I want to see come out of that bullpen are AJ Minter, Luke Jackson, Tyler Matzek, and Will Smith. Those are the only four pitchers I want to see come out of the bullpen, unless Max makes a reappearance in Game 7 potentially. Those are the only guys I trust. Unless there is a six-run lead one way or the other, those are the only pitchers I want to see coming out of those bullpen doors the rest of the way. They're the only pitchers I trust right now. You know, if it's a two-run lead, you know, if the Braves are down two or three runs, don't bring in Chris Martin in a big situation where things could get out of hand. I don't want to see that. Use your best guys these next two games if you have to. This is a chance to go to the World Series. Do not waste it for a, you know, a matchup or because you don't want to blow a guy early. You know, if you got a big situation in the fourth or fifth inning, bring in a good reliever, a guy you can trust. So that's, you know, one of my biggest keys going forward, as well as what we talked about earlier. The offense, you know, has to keep adding. They have to keep scoring runs. Can't get complacent, which I think they did some in the series last year. And, you know, what they did in Game 5 where they just completely went dead after they fell behind. So those are my two biggest keys for the rest of this series. But, Fred, I'll go to you first, kind of your final thoughts.
Well, I agree with you that he's got to rely on his horses in the bullpen. That's why he went to Dylan Lee last night, and that's why he went to Jacob Webb last night. And Chris Martin last night, because he was going to give those guys a blow. Once he realized this is beyond catching here, then he was going to give those guys a blow and not go to the horses unless the lineup did something. That way he gave Jackson a day off, he gave Matzek a day off, and Smith had the day off, and that's the back end of his bullpen. If he's forced into doing something else, I don't know what it will be. You may, depends on what Anderson does. If Anderson goes deep into the game, goes four and a half, five innings, there's going to be somebody in the sixth, somebody in the seventh, somebody in the eighth, and somebody in the ninth. So you got those four guys. You got to have somebody in case they trip up. Lee didn't do bad in his first inning. The second inning, he gave up the bomb. But again, he's a one inning kind of pitcher. I'm not too worried about him. He threw strikes. At least he threw strikes. I don't trust Chris Martin any farther than I could throw him. And so I agree with you. I wouldn't give him the ball again, period. I'd be happy if he's pitched his last game for Atlanta. I just, you know, with the bullpen was a weakness. Then all of a sudden it was a strength. And now we're down to the point where everybody's got to be good because it can only go so far. You look at what the Dodgers did when they started with Kelly. And then they went to Edmund Phillips out of emergency because he wasn't the guy that was supposed to come in. And then they went to Gratterall, and then they went to Bessia. And so they went to their big four right off the bat with that, and they held us in check. But if we do that, we got nobody left in the back of the game. And they still had Trinan and Jansen sitting there to use, and Brewhill. So that's the difference, really. Our starter has to go in different, deeper. Our bullpen's got to be on point. They've got to be rested. And you've got to use the guy. You got to use your horses. And for those guys out there complaining because Luke gave up that home run, get a life. Jesus, the man's been one of the best pitchers and the best relief pitchers in the National League this year. And you're arguing with me that we should look at what he did in 2018. No, we shouldn't. He's one of the best pitchers in the league this year. He left a ball up. Bellinger hit it out. That's not. Sometimes the batter wins. But
yeah, he didn't even leave it up. I liked Luke Jackson's comment after the game. He said, when the ball left my hand, I thought, oh, that's a ball. It's way too high. And Bellinger just, I mean, you got to tip your hat. He went up the ladder and hit it out. I mean, yeah, I'm right there with you. I don't understand people complaining about Luke Jackson for that pitch. That ball was way high. I mean, the probability on him hitting a home run on that cannot be very high. So you just got to tip your cap to him. And I know I said I was done making points, but I just wanted to build on my point and what you're talking about, Fred, is that, you know, say Ian Anderson comes out in the fourth or fifth inning and you bring in AJ Minter to put out a fire and Minter looks good and his spot doesn't come up, ride a pitcher that is hot. That's the thing I don't like in the regular season either, but you bring in our relief pitcher and he's throwing well, let him continue. You know, as long as you're up and his spot doesn't come up, at least let him go back out there, see if he can continue it. You know, that's something that always bugs me because you never know what's going to come out of that bullpen door and who's going to be on that day and who's going to be not. You got a reliever that comes in and he's throwing the ball well and they can't touch him. He looks good. Ride that horse. So that's my other key point going forward, Alan. But what else you got?
I don't know if I got anything else. I'm going to echo what you guys are saying about Luke Jackson's homer pitch. I was sitting at home thinking, oh, on the pitch before, it was a high strike, and he missed it. And it's like, okay, I'm thinking to myself, throw the same thing about 4 or 5 inches higher. And that's exactly what he did. Because you want these guys to climb the ladder, and you want these guys to be sort of chasing the pitches up. I guess Bellinger was thinking along the same lines and got on top of it somehow. I guess he's kind of step stool or something to get up there and get it. But I mean, yeah, they could have thrown the slider, but I think the normal expected thing was to go ahead and throw that high strike, and he chased it and by golly, he hit it. But I mean, the Braves need to look at that event and say, we are one pitch away from already being eligible for the World Series.
I don't think the Braves themselves are worried about that. It's just it's the panel of experts that aren't the Braves, you know what I mean?
Granted, but what they should be thinking is, we've been beating these guys.
Yep.
And they have been beating these guys. And if it weren't for that one, not the pitch, I think the pitch was fine. I think that the one event where Bellinger got on top of that pitch, if it weren't for that event, then they'd already be prepping for the World Series. So they could pat themselves on the back for a moment and say, look, we can beat this Dodger team. And they need to come out with the attitude that we're back at home, we're going to defend home, and we're going to beat these guys. I think it's going to take 2-run homers. I think it's going to take maybe a 3-run homer to do it because of the way the Dodgers handle their bullpen. If you get a guy on base, you're going to have to go long ball. We haven't been terribly successful at being able to do the small ball thing for the most part. I think that that's part and parcel of how they have been doing matchup games in the bullpen. So when you get the opportunity, when you get a guy on base, hammer him home. I think that's what it's going to take, whether it's in game 6 or game 7, it's going to need to be done to get these runs in. So if the Braves do that and they come out with the attitude that they're not only just equal to the Dodgers, they're better than the Dodgers, then I think that's going to carry the day.
Yep. Like that, Alan. A good way to end it. That will do it for this episode of the Tomahawk Take podcast. Make sure you check out the website at tomahawktake.com, where we are covering the series in written form. All of our great writers over there, so make sure you check that out. Make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to the Tomahawk Take podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll talk to you next week.
This past the deadline scrambled and makeshift edition of the Tomahawk Take podcast,
Bueller,
is a production of TomahawkTake.com and Fansided LLC, a subsidiary of Minute Media, Inc. Opinions expressed on the show today are solely those of the participants, and while Minute Media allows us to sign all the talent we could use, well, some of us are still on the taxi squad. All rights reserved. One of the musical selections used today comes to you under the auspices of the Creative Commons license, terms of which are available at creativecommons.org/licenses/by/4.0. This was a piece by Kevin MacLeod entitled Hillbilly Swing, which was modified to fit in the available space. His works are featured at incompetech.filmmusic.io. All other musical selections used come via rights already purchased by TomahawkTake.com. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast today, and we'll see you out there for the rest of the playoffs.